Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning will be taken from our Old Testament reading in Genesis chapter 12. So our gospel reading for today, that story about Jesus and Nicodemus, is one of the most well-known stories in the scriptures. In addition to that, the passage contains perhaps the most well-known Bible passage of all, John 3:16. And in addition to that, there's another verse, verse 3, which is perhaps one of the most theologically important passages in the scriptures. Nonetheless, how do we understand this passage? The passage that speaks to us about new birth, that you should be born again. How do we understand that? For some people, it is confusing, as confusing today as it was when Jesus and Nicodemus were first speaking about it. Jesus and the Apostle Paul talk about it in terms of dying and rising. And in keeping with that, perhaps a little tweak in the translation here is helpful. Because there are several translations which are all very valid. You must be born again. You must be born anew. Or you must be born from above. All three of those are valid translations, but perhaps they help us as we think about exactly what this means. Or perhaps there's even another way of thinking about it, and that is in terms of Abraham and his life. You know, our Old Testament reading for today doesn't use the terminology of the New Testament about birth, but as we read the story of Abraham, we see that that's exactly what's going on there. He has, in fact, a new life. God calls him out of the old life into a new life. And so today we can consider together the life of Abraham, and there's a few aspects there that can help us in our understanding of what this new birth that God gives to us is all about. So first off, we can see that being born again is all about the grace and the mercy of God. That's a big part of this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, right? Jesus is talking about birth. And let's think about birth for just a moment. You know, what is that all about? How many of you asked to be born? We don't, do we? It's not our decision. That's in the purview of others, God and our parents. And so life was gifted to us. None of us asked to be born. But you see, that's an important part of understanding this new birth that we have, the spiritual birth, that it is something that, just like our physical birth, is gifted to us. God takes the initiative. God comes to us. God gives this to us, which is perhaps a little bit easier to think about when we think about our baptism, particularly if it was when we were an infant. Again, we talk about this being our spiritual birth, but that was not something that we decided to do. That was something that was gifted to us. You know, God commands it. Our parents bring us. We receive. Yes, this second birth is about God's grace and its mercy to us. Even if you became a Christian as an adult, it happens the same way. I mean, perhaps it doesn't seem that way sociologically, but it does happen at God's initiative and God's grace. That he comes and he calls us, and then we have an opportunity in faith to respond to that. But it's always God who comes to us. And that's exactly the way it was with Abraham, right? The Apostle Paul in our epistle reading talks about it in this way. You know, he said, what did Abraham have to boast about before God? Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. Because he was justified by God, not because of something that was in him or something that he did, but rather it was because of what God did in him. And so God came to him, called him, and Abraham believed, and God credited it to him as righteousness. So let's go to our Old Testament reading for today in Genesis chapter 12. And there we see the story about this. Now, as we begin to read, particularly the end of chapter 11 into chapter 12, which is our text for today, it's a little bit difficult to understand the timeline. And it seems like the call of God comes to Abraham when he's in Haran. You know, the order of events were that Terah and his family, he had three sons, Abraham, Haran, and Nabor. They all left Ur, and they went to Haran. And there, from Haran then, some of them died there. But then Abraham and Sarah and Lot went down to Canaan. So those are the order of events, but when did this call from God come? As you read Genesis, it seems like it happened in Haran. But if you go to Acts chapter 7, verse 2, there as Stephen is preaching before he was stoned, he lets us know that the call of God to Abraham came all the way back in Ur. That's the first part of the puzzle. The second part is we go to Joshua chapter 24. And there in Joshua chapter 24, we are told that Terah and his family were idolaters, idol worshipers. And so you begin to put this thing together and you see God's call to them came when they were unbelievers, when they were idolaters, when they were not following God, and God called them out of that into a new life. See, and that's exactly what we're talking about here. That's what our spiritual life is about, that God calling us out of a previous life of unbelief into a life of belief. It's a dying and it's a rising. It is a new birth that we have. But the important point here is that it comes because of God's grace and mercy to us. That's the first thing we need to understand about our spiritual birth. The second thing, then, is that it's about faith. It's about living a life of trust in God and faith in Him. Again, that's a big part of this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him, right, and there it is, shall have eternal life. That's an integral part of what our spiritual birth is all about. And of course, you know that faith is not just about knowing. It's not even just about the heart. It's about doing as well. Faith is always lived out in what we say and what we do. There is integrity between what's going on inside and what's going on outside of us. This happened for Nicodemus. You know, we see that he was there with Jesus. He heard these words. Did he receive spiritual birth on that night? Well, we don't know. The story doesn't tell us. It goes on to other kinds of things. And so we're kind of left wondering about this. Did Nicodemus receive the new birth, or did he leave there that night still scratching his head, trying to figure this thing out? What does this mean? Did he at some other time come to faith? Well, what we do know is that by John chapter 7, something has happened in Nicodemus, because Nicodemus begins to defend Jesus. Yeah, they're plotting against him. They're trying to get Jesus, and they're doing it in an unethical way, and Nicodemus says, hold on, wait, that's not fair, that's not right. You know, you can't be accusing somebody of being guilty before you even know what the facts are. You can't be making stuff up. And then you follow the story through, and you get to the crucifixion of Jesus, and who's there burying Jesus? Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. So we begin to see Nicodemus living out this faith. You know, somewhere along the line, this new birth comes to him, but he begins to live it out in his life as well. And the same thing is demonstrated in the life of Abraham as well. Verse 1 tells us, or God says to Abraham, go, And in verse 4, it says Abraham went. Well, there we have this life of faith that we see in Abraham. But what does that went mean? What does it mean that he went? Well, in verse 1, it's God said, go from your country, from your kindred, and from your father's household. Let that sink in for a moment. What's God asking Abraham to do? Pretty big step, isn't it? Leave everything that you know. Leave your country. Leave your people. Yeah, even leave your father's household. Go. Well, go where? Next phrase tells us. And I will show you where to go. Wait a minute, where's that? Just go, Abraham. He doesn't know. He doesn't know where the end is. He doesn't even know the path that's going to be there. I will show you as you go, God says to Abraham. You can imagine how that conversation went in Abraham's household. Sarah, honey, time to pack up. We're moving. Oh, where are we going? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Where are we going to live? I'm not really sure, but we're supposed to go. Well, do you have a house? Do you have a plan? No, not really. We're just going. Abraham lived a long life, but it's amazing that he got past that conversation that day. But you see, that's what our spiritual life is about. That's what the new birth is. It's a life of trust in God. And we don't always know exactly where we're going or how we're even going to get there. We just know what it is that God wants us to do, to live faithfully to Him. He tells us in the scriptures how to do that. But sometimes, you know, that's kind of like, well, I don't know how this is going to happen. I'm not sure I can see the end. But that's what faith is about. You know, this past Wednesday, we talked about Abraham and when God told him to sacrifice his son, his one and only son, the son of the promise. You know, and we talked about on the way going up the mountain. And Isaac said to his father, Father, here's the wood and here's the fire. But where's the sacrifice? And remember what Abraham said. He said, the Lord will provide, son. How did Abraham ever learn to do that? How did he ever learn to trust God that way? You know, that he's going up the mountain, he's going to sacrifice his son, and he doesn't know how this thing is going to work out. You know, how's God going to fulfill his promise? You know, we read a little bit from Luther there, you know, and Luther said everything died in Abraham that day. Everything. All of his hopes, his family, you know, that he was going to have to sacrifice his son. How did he learn to do that trust? Well, it's here. You know, when God called him to leave his country, his family, his house, kindred, and his household. And that's what God calls us to do. You know, I'm not saying that God is ever going to call you to leave your country, your kindred, and your father's household. No, that's not the point. But he does call us to follow him, right? What did Jesus say to us? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Wow. Yeah, we are called to leave things behind. We are called to follow him. And this is what the life of faith is all about. This is what this spiritual birth is about, trusting God and walking with him. Even when we don't know how to get there and where the end is. Finally, then, this new birth is about blessing, about being blessed and about blessing others. You know, we see that there's a sevenfold blessing that God gives to Abraham, verse 2. And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. 7. The complete number. I think that's the point of that. A completeness of God's blessings that's given to Abraham. But notice in there also that it says that you will be a blessing to others. Twice it says that. Once in a general sense, and the other, you will be a blessing to all the families of the earth. And it's that last one that we want to take special note of, because that's a messianic reference. How in the world is Abraham going to bless every family of this world? Well, it's through his offspring, the offspring, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, right? God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but through him it might be saved. All right, so this is how Abraham is a blessing to others. But you see, that's a part of this new birth as well, that we are blessed and we bless others, that we receive God's blessings, that he calls us in our baptism to be him. He pours his blessings, the completeness of his blessings into us. You know, but we can't just hold that. We're going to explode if we try to do that. We're just not made that way. It's got to get out. And so we are blessed so that we might be a blessing to others. It flows through us. And so that's the way that we live, this new birth that we have in Christ Jesus, that we are people who are blessing others. We are blessing others just simply by the way that we live and that we show what it means to be godly, what it means to live in relationship with God and love God. We bless others by telling them when we have the opportunity about this wonderful God that we have and his grace that comes to us in Jesus Christ. We bless others simply by being kind and good people in this world and sharing the blessings that God has given to us with others. And so that's what this new life, the second birth, is all about. It's about, first, God's grace to us. Second, about living in trust and faith towards God. And third, about blessing. Receiving God's blessings and giving God's blessings. In his name, amen.